It is the 1920s. All across Europe, people are coming to terms with the aftermath of a world torn by war. In Germany, Hitler has begun his rise to the top of the National Socialist Party. Anarchists run riot, the Russian royal family has been deposed, and it seems as if the British Empire has enemies on all sides. But it is not that story that we're dealing with. Other things lurk in the shadows. Older things. Things that have no concept of humanity. Things that have lain in wait since before humans walked the planet. Sanity-blasting horrors, worshipped by the mad and the deluded, they hide behind our world. Waiting. Waiting until the stars were right. Running under the 7th edition of Call of Cthulhu, we now embark on Horror on the Orient Express.
Hello and welcome to episode 238 of the Cult of Tea and Dice and session I Have Not a Clue of Blue Train Black Knight of Horror on the Orient Express running under the 7th edition. I think it's session 5, I'm told.
Excuse me.
Session 5, going pretty well so far.
We're not dead yet.
Despite my repeated attempts, none of the players or their characters have died yet. I keep saying and I have to edit.
We are in varying states of debilitation, however.
Yes, you are all deaded in different ways.
Yeah.
So then,
should we roll for luck?
Yes, roll for luck. Roll for luck.
Oh, we need it.
Yeah, you do.
We really do.
You
Fuck me, I actually pass it. Fuck you, luck. Okay, let's look for...
No luck for you.
No, I pass.
No different than
all of us. No,
I does not.
While they're rolling for luck, I'm just going to warn you all at home that I seem to have strained my throat in some fashion today. So if I suddenly start making horrific choking sounds or otherwise I'm incapable of talking, that'll be why.
Yeah, if we have to give him a tracheotomy, that will like be extra. That's not going to be left in the original broadcast.
We're
ready for that.
Yeah. We'll start a Patreon just so you can hear Norvig and getting a tracheotomy halfway through a fucking encounter.
Yeah. Selene, you've gained another 3 points of luck.
I'm on 25.
Yep, and you have failed that, Dr. Roberts, so you will get... You also get another 3 points of luck, Dr. Roberts, so you're on 28.
Yeah. My rubber's stuck in my lid.
Innuendo?
That sounds so much like an innuendo.
But it isn't when you think about it in the slightest.
Oh, my rubber's stuck in my lid.
Ow,
know what I mean?
What?
Knock, knock, no. Wink, wink. Say no more. Say no more.
What? How? What? No. Okay.
Say no more to a blind horse. Knock, knock, wink, wink.
So, hello, I'm Hardwick and I'm playing Clarissa Glick.
Oh, yeah, we didn't do that. Ladies and gentlemen, it is winter now. It's dark outside, and we're all very sleepy. Mm-hmm. Go on.
It is autumn, but I am preparing for hibernation. That I'm Archive, thing. And I'm playing Errol Ulstaff.
Still.
Somehow.
I'm bloody...
Because he's so brave. So brave.
Okay, can I?
Yeah.
Okay. I am bloodied, and I'm playing Jester Philman, and I'm fucking corpsing. Same for the man.
I mean, it's only appropriate to be corpsing in this game. You will be soon.
Honestly, you're still playing Chester Philman because he started with a phenomenal amount of hit points.
Mm.
A ridiculous amount of hit points, many of which are no longer with us. Il Porcupino.
I'm Il Porcupino and I'm playing Selena Burns.
The little old lady with one eye.
No constitution, formidable mind powers.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the ability to just keep beating demons with her stick until they are beaten in half.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Loka.
I'm Loka, and I will be playing Dr. Wade Roberts. Yeah, that is this game. Yes, right.
Yep. We've been doing a lot of different games all at once, so we're a little confused about what we're doing.
And some of them have complicated names.
Yes.
And not literally all at once, because that'd be weird.
Appius Publius. Anyway, moving on. Could somebody please recap? Because I literally cannot remember what we did in the last one. I remember the first bit.
Neither can I.
Right, okay.
We're lucky. Clarissa,
I remember
keeps
mostly
notes.
That other people got stabbed a lot.
No.
So, Clarissa and Errol went to send the telegram.
Yeah,
with that.
On the way back from the telegram office, they were accosted by two men with suspicious things in their pockets.
Yes. Now, before I said one suspicious man had a gun and the other had a knife, and then they both turned into knives. But, okay.
Yeah.
They both had knives, people.
Yeah, knives.
I didn't forget what I said from one episode to another.
So, anyway, there was a bit of stabbing and grabbing.
Okay.
Well, it was.
Yep.
There was slashing.
Bashing.
Bashing. Jumping and running.
Mm-hmm.
Some poor porter got thoroughly murdered.
The porter got chopped
in
half.
Very murdered.
But it's all right, because Errol jumped through a window of the train in great, great bravery.
He bravely shoved a woman out of the way and leapt through the window on top of her into the train to escape.
Yeah.
Chester did a bit of stabbing from the train.
Yep. He ran out of the train and stabbed someone in the back.
There was a completely useless police constable just standing about doing bugger all. And then, let's see.
The train legged it.
The train did, in fact, legged it because of bandits.
The porters were shooting shotguns.
Well, this is true. There was a bit of, yeah. Clarissa did try shooting, but nah.
Yeah, you actually missed. It was a shock, to say the least.
Dr. Jesus is dead.
Well, yes. Dr. Jesus is fucking deceased. And in fact, was deceased when he became Dr. Jesus.
Yeah.
Which is an... It's sort of interesting. But anyway, continue.
So anyway, we...
got on the train.
Got on the train, and it suddenly started and raced off.
Yes.
We were taken to the doctor to be patched up.
Yes.
Poor doctor.
And then we
It's a different doctor, at least. It's not the English doctor.
We all went for a drink, because that's what we do now.
Drink, drink and slowly melt. That is what you do now.
And steak. Don't forget the blood replacement.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Mm. And eat steak.
And then we got into more who's having little things with who in the first class compartment.
Oh, yes, yes. Because you decided certain people... are getting it on with other certain people. Would you like to enlighten the listeners just in case they don't remember what happened?
So, I believe the Countess.
Countess de Brucey. The young Countess.
Yes. Now, she is looking pleased with herself.
Oh, yes.
And I believe it was Lord Margrave?
No.
No, 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 no. It was our good friend...
German guy.
Yes, our good friend German guy.
Kurt Groening.
Kurt Groening, sorry.
Not just generic German guy.
No, I forgot
his name.
He is
the German guy out of the gang on the train. Therefore, it's a perfectly reasonable description. You knew who I was talking about.
We can't remember his name.
Yes. Lord Margrave was something else entirely.
A pervert?
No, that's Harry Bart.
That's Harry, yeah. Okay.
Lord Margrave was drunk and rambling on about butterflies and not being sure why ladies didn't like him anymore. Or more particularly one lady.
Any more or ever?
Any more.
I quite liked him.
Okay.
What else happened? Anything?
That was pretty much it.
So, let me get this straight. We are beginning this encounter with you all sat slightly sozzled in the... train saloon, yes?
Well, the last thing I have written is Lord Margrave leaves, Dainton Zorbit comes in to nurse a beer, Chester and Dr. Orbitz go to rest.
Yeah, because we're both knackered.
Okay.
And that's a foolish idea you're going on. Okay.
And it is your... Oh, it was the afternoon, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like Monday afternoon. We've been stabbed twice today, had two meals, and sent a telegram.
And
thrown skin out the window. It's been a very long day.
I was in a lady's bedroom. Oh,
it's
my.
Been a day. Can you remember what time it was in the day?
No. It's after lunch.
Okay,
definitely.
So it's just afternoon. Is there anything you want to do during the afternoon?
Was there a tea?
To be fair, it might be a different
not
way.
Yet.
It might be a little way through the afternoon now, because it was afternoon when we found the skin in the bed and then weren't sent the telegram.
Okay, so it's probably getting on towards early evening.
Yeah, we've not had dinner yet.
Yeah.
I know that. It's somewhere between lunch and dinner, probably closer to dinner than lunch.
I believe dinner was between 7 and 9 for you.
Okay.
So Dr. Roberts and Chester both go to bed.
Yes.
Everybody make me a constitution check.
Everybody.
Because we all got poisoned with knife.
I failed. Me too.
Chester failed.
Rolling against 60.
Okay, hold on.
It was better than D20, not two.
Rolling against 30. Yay!
Okay, Dr. Roberts, you pass. Selena, you pass, amazingly.
Okay, so good people Lord, here who
I
failed.
Fortified.
Everyone. Sharing. Excellent. So, for you, Clarissa, you know how the skin on your leg was feeling all tight and horrible?
Yes.
Well, that spread to your abdomen as well.
Oh, nice.
It feels tight and almost like it's going to split. Like it's going to, just if you move wrong, it'll just rip. Archive. Oh dear.
That's alarming.
Uh-oh.
Oh, actually, that's not as bad as I thought it was. Oh, actually, no, it is. It is just as bad as I thought it was. So, you know that weird creeping feeling people sometimes get?
Yeah.
On their skin, where their skin creeps? Yeah, your entire head is doing that constantly.
Ah.
It doesn't stop. It's like... And finally, blooded. That's boring.
Hooray.
You sweat heavily. sweaty. But yeah, you take a brief nap and you wake up about 2 hours later, drenched in sweat. Your nice new clean sheets that Selena procured for you are now sodden, and you don't seem to be able to stop. Dr. Roberts, you sleep a fitful sleep, assailed by dreams of knife-wielding maniacs sneaking into your room. Occasionally, you become certain you are in a coffin and someone is nailing it shut, until you realise that it's Jack Gatling's typewriter going, not the hammering on nails. The rest of you sit out in the saloon car. Are you getting progressively sozzled, or are you going to stop at a certain point?
I will definitely stop after maybe 2 tops.
Okay. Rest of you? Errol's not really a big drinker, is he?
No. He can't drink, who knows who's there. It's fine.
Yeah. You can't see what Archive is doing because this is a podcast. But she's sort of stroking her head skin.
That just sounds weird.
Yeah, it looks weird in my defence.
It's got a bag or something.
I've got a creepy head.
You do have a creepy head.
So it's your face?
You know my warnings at the bottom of these podcasts? They usually start with includes archive and then a load of other stuff. I think I'm just going to put includes archive and archive's creepy head.
Creepy head skin.
And then just leave it. Just put nothing else in there. Just includes archive's creepy head.
I mean, they'll understand soon enough.
Yeah. But anyway, pushing on. How drunk are you getting, Clarissa?
Not especially.
Okay, so you keep your wits about you.
Yeah.
Can you please, you three that's in the saloon car, not the people who are snoozing, can you please make me spot hidden checks?
Okay. Selena.
I pass.
Selena does not pass. Not on
88. Half that.
Okay. Who passes? Both make me sanity checks.
Oh, no.
I pass.
Okay. So, you're approaching Belgrade. which is all well and good. And you're chugging through the outer portions of the city. Now, the outer portions of the city, as you remember, little bit fucked, still from the war. And you're going through a damaged area, and you see this cottage just sat there in the ruins. Just this cottage and a little garden sat in the ruins. And you watch it until it goes out of view. Now, a couple of minutes later, you see it again.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No.
And then a couple of minutes later, you see it again. The train pulls into Belgrade Station, and you hear the various conductors wandering up and down going, "Yes, we will be staying here for 40 minutes. 40 minutes stop here. 40 minutes. 40 minutes stop here." And the train stops. What are you doing? Are you doing anything? Are you getting off the train?
Fuck no.
Oh, sorry, not 40 minutes. 50 minutes stop here. 50 minutes. Technically 52 minutes.
52? Fuck knows.
Okay, then. Yeah, so you just sort of, those of you who are sleeping, wake up the exact moment you pull into Belgrade. 50 minutes stop here, 50 minutes, Belgrade.
They have a shower.
Okay, you get up, you go, and you have a wash, because you can't have a shower because the Orient Express little bathrooms do not have a shower. You
know? Oh, okay.
They have a wash basin and so on. You have a wash, you dry yourself off. 2 seconds later, you are sweating profusely.
Great. It's me in the summer again.
It's not even warm. It's quite cool.
I know. Well, that makes it even worse.
People are getting off. People are getting on again. You hear the conduct, the chef de brigade, stomping up and down. And eventually he goes off the train. You see him leave the train. And then you see him come back on the train with another conductor, one of the company wagon lead conductors. But let's see, what else do you see here? Jack Gatling again leaves the train and heads over to... Jack Gatling gets up, heads over to the telegram office. You see Kurt Groening going after him. It's almost as if he sees him and then rushes after him, because he tries to stop him as he's going in, and then he goes in with him. After a while, Gatling comes out and looks a bit flustered, maybe a bit dishevelled, very red in the face, but sort of glances behind himself and sort of shakes a fist. And then a bit later on, Kurt Groening comes out very pale and angry, like little red points on his cheeks, and sort of stomps back to the train and gets back on. Anybody doing anything? Are you watching carefully out of the windows?
Could go and speak to him, see what's going on.
The guy
runs his mouth all the time, so.
Groening or Gatling?
Gatling was the one who was looking angry.
Well, Gatling was looking flustered. You could go talk to Gatling. Is that what you're going to do? But anyway, so Selena, are you going off to go and talk to Jack Gatling when he comes back on then?
Who was the one who came out looking really angry?
Groening looked really, really angry. Gatling looked flustered and cross.
I think it might be worth interacting with one of them. Anyone else think so? Or
I'm just trying to find an outfit that is reasonably sweat absorbent.
Yeah. The problem is the two gentlemen are in their rooms at the moment, although they're both awake. Errol is with you and Clarissa is with you.
Oh, I'll go and talk to one of them if you talk to the other.
Okay. So
Clarissa wants to wait till they're back on the train.
Yeah.
Well, they're both coming back on the train. It's just the train won't be moving yet.
Yeah, I'm not getting off this train. Okay.
So you're going to wait until the train's moving to go and find them and talk to them? Or no?
Well, Jack Gatling is in with Dr. Roberts, isn't he?
Yes. And Groening's out on his own.
Dr. Roberts will be getting up as soon as he feels able and getting some sort of meal, because he's on an indeterminate small amount of hit points, 4, which means that He's exceptionally stab prone at the moment.
Yes, yes.
Well,
okay, well, dinner will be served in a little while. Basically, dinner will be served once they pull out of Belgrade. I'm trying to find out if anybody's doing anything while they are parked at Belgrade.
No.
If Dr. Roberts has learned anything, it's getting off the train is worse than staying on.
Yeah, it's whether Selena wants to go talk to someone before we leave.
Yeah, no, I'm not leaving the train. No.
They're on the train with you. I'm trying to find out if you go straight to them when you see them getting back on the train or wait till the train is moving again before you go and see them.
I think that I'll go and see them when they get back on the train because they're going to be het up and angry. They might actually talk more.
Okay. So which one of the two are you heading to the moment
I'll go to Gatling because he's more likely to talk.
Okay, so you head to Gatling. Is anybody going to Groening the moment he gets back on the train?
You do seem to be friends with him.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. So, Errol, while they're doing these two things, what is Errol doing?
Is anyone else? No, no one else is here. Okay.
Errol... Well, Ramahotep is in the corner reading his book. Danton Zorbik is in the other corner, nursing his one beer, and there's the waiter slash barman.
Okay, there's more than one person. Only one of them can be evil, probably. Back to the wall. It might be all right.
Okay. In which case, you can make me a spot hidden. It is hard.
No. I passed it not well enough.
Okay. Well, for just the pass, you do notice a couple of black cockerels walking up and down the platform.
I mean, that means nothing to me, unless you want me to make an occult roll and see whether that means anything to me, because he wasn't there for this bit.
Oh, no. But yeah, no, it means nothing to you.
Yeah.
Cool. Right, in which case, we will go and deal with Selena. Dr. Roberts, you have gotten dressed, and just as the train pulls out, you leave. You'd still be there. So, Jack Gatling comes into your room. You're still sort of lying down at the moment. He comes in and he throws himself down in the chair next to his typewriter and starts typing away again. A couple of seconds after that, there's a knock at the door. Yes, who is it? Hello? Who's there?
Oh, is it me?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Hello?
Meaningful looks don't work on radio.
No.
Well, don't just stand there. Tell me who you are.
He shares a room with Bloody, doesn't he?
No, he shares a room with Dr. Roberts, but Dr. Roberts is either not in there, asleep, or keeping stum.
Oh, okay.
I'm keeping stum.
Oh, okay. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, I'm looking for my friend.
Jack Gatling comes over and then opens the door. He looks a bit ruffled. He's a bit red in the face, maybe a little bit sweaty. His hair's a bit messed up. Oh, hello.
Oh, I say, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. What did you say you wanted? You wanted your friend? I think he's asleep. I don't think he's awake at the moment, although he might have woken up with all that banging on the door you did.
What is going on?
Your friend is at the door here for you. I did tell her that you were sleeping, but that she'd probably woken you up with all the banging.
Oh, hello, Selena.
I'm sorry to bother you.
Did you need something?
I was just checking in on you to see how you were. I come in and start fluffing duvets around you. This is highly unusual.
Jack Gatling takes a step back as you push past him and wander into the room to basically old lady at Dr. Roberts. He just sort of looks really confused.
Dr. Roberts also looks confused, but also terrified and thoroughly ennested.
While I'm doing that, I will be kind of muttering about, how am I going to say, youth today getting themselves into trouble all the time, and that every now and again I'll cast a look over at Gatland and kind of like, it's just like a concerned look just to see if he's okay. I don't know what to roll on to try and make it look like
I'm... Psychology. Definitely psychology.
Okay. I'm a nice old lady who's prepared to listen to any problems that you have. Pat,
okay.
Patiently.
You've got that at base, so that's a 10% roll. Let's give it a shot.
Yeah, you're much better at intimidating the fuck out of people than being
I'm
nice.
I'm very good at this. I've always got that as a backup.
No, role. That's a 60. You rolled a 60 there, sorry.
He literally just stays standing next to the door, which he's opened, and sort of staring at in utter confusion at what's going on.
Okay, I will whirl on him then, after patting the doctor down thoroughly, caringly, possibly with my stick.
It's your patting stick.
Gentle. Right now, Mr. Gatlin, I waved a stick at him.
Gatlin, Jack Gatlin, I'm Jack Gatlin.
Jack Gatlin, yes, right.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a righty.
Now, as you can see, my companion is very unwell, and I expect you to help look after him. You are to keep the noise down. You are to inform us if any changes at all.
Madam, and until you came in here, all the sound that was going on would have been the tapping of my typewriter.
Well, it really doesn't look that way.
What?
Well, look, you're all flustered.
I can guarantee you, madam, that my flusteration did not occur in this room. Thank you very much. And I don't quite like the tone of your voice or indeed what you're implying.
Dr. Robbins is just looking more and more confused.
There was...
You weren't arguing with my companion. Because if you were, I will find out, young man.
I have barely spoken a word to your companion in this whole time. I really do not understand where this is all coming from, lady. And if you don't mind, I have work to get on with, so you can leave this room.
And Dr. Roberts will sort of look and go, oh no, you should not have said that.
Yeah.
Because now I think there's an unexploded granny.
I'm just trying to think of how to do it. Sorry, I'm thinking. I want to menace him into talking, but I can't think of a way to do it.
Wave your stick?
I don't know. Honestly, I can't help you with this one. I have no idea how without threatening bodily harm and saying, what do you know? That you could actually get him to talk to you because you've just finished insulting him. And potentially suggesting he's having a thing with Dr. Roberts.
I was trying to suggest that he was arguing with him or some kind. Not that he was...
That's not how it came across, lady.
Stop this here homosexing. There's none of that.
We weren't homosexing.
That's how it came across.
Oh, but you look like you were. What?
You today with a homo sexing.
I think the best thing I could do is probably retreat at this point and just give the doctor another caring whack.
Stop whacking him off.
So
he's still tucked in where he can't cause any trouble. Fine.
So I'm just going to give him another pat and be like, now you rest, doctor.
Quite frankly, if it was a whack with the stick, it would probably be Dr. Roberts looking more relieved because it's like, oh, this is more like her.
Yeah, as I will just keep glaring at Gatlin as I leave, like I'm watching you, kind of glaring as I walk out the
door.
As she leaves,
let's really give him the evil eyes.
Hi,
like that two fingers. Yeah. Does it?
She hasn't got two.
I've only got one left.
That'll make it all the more scary, believe you me.
She had two, but now she's only got one. And sadly, it seems to be the evil one. As she leaves, Gatling sort of shuts the door, pushes it shut, and then just lifts the latch across and locks the door. And turns to you and goes, I hope you don't mind, buddy, but I don't want that woman coming back in here. She seems to be some kind of, you know, mental patient of some description. She seems insane. Did you get the feeling that that woman was altogether there? I mean, she's got one eye, and she looks like, quite frankly, the rough end of a badger.
Well, I can't speak for the rough end of badgers.
Well, believe you me, I can.
But I, yeah, and locking the door won't stop her.
Oh, God! Oh, God.
Okay, then. He goes over to one side of the room and picks up his big trunk and puts it against the door. Now maybe we can have some peace and quiet, eh? Eh, buddy? Peace and quiet? Bit of peace and quiet for me and you? Yeah, I think so. Bit of peace and quiet. I've got so much... Oh, man, you should hear it. There's so much gossip on this train. I should ride this train all the time. Don't you think? I mean, there's you guys getting poisoned and shot and stabbed every few minutes. And then there's all the other, you know, sounds like salacious gossip on this.
Does sound like an expensive proposition, though.
Ah, well, you see, my company will pay if they get good stories out of it, and believe you me, they are getting good stories out of this trip. I mean, Bulgarian bandits trying to off you and your friends every couple of seconds? Countesses putting it where it shouldn't be put? Oh, yeah.
Oh, good grief, really?
Oh, yeah, boy. Yeah, you should hear some of the salacious stuff that's going on this train. But I tell you what... If you've got a dime, you can buy it in a week or so.
I shall look forward to it becoming available.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know what, buddy? If you are willing to give me an interview about these Bulgarian bandits, I'd be willing to comp you a whole subscription, let alone next week.
I will give it some thought. I am, after all, more than somewhat injured.
Mm-hmm. Well, you should get your story out there, buddy. Get your story out there. That way, maybe they'll be incentivized not to, you know, come after you again.
I'll think about it.
You have a good old think. I'm going to go and write some more of this stuff down. This is amazing stuff. What's your weird friend with one eye's name?
Sorry, what?
Your old lady friend who just came in and beat you about a bit with a stick. What's she called?
That's Mrs. Burns.
Mrs. Burns, you say? Well, Mrs. Burns, prepare to be eviscerated in the free press. And he goes back to typing. Meanwhile, Clarissa, you headed to talk to Kurt Groening. Where are you going to look for him?
Do I know which room he's in?
Yes, he's like
is
two,
he on the end?
Two down from you. No, I think the end is Danton Shurvik.
Okay.
He's the one next to that, I think. Let me check. Kurt Groening is cabin 11. Oh, sorry, no, I was wrong. He's about in the middle somewhere. He is in his own. The 11 is him, then 12 is Ramahotep. 14 is Margrave, so you're in 13. Donna Delgada is in 15, and Danton Jubik is in 16. So he is still two down from you, but in the opposite direction.
Okay, so I will go and kind of pretend to be passing.
Okay.
Just maybe try and listen, see if anything's going on in the room.
Make me a listen check.
I pass that.
Do you speak German?
No.
You hear Kurt Groening whispering to someone in German. You hear a lady's voice respond. Somewhat flustered. You then hear Kurt Groening respond again in German. Forcefully, but not angry at the person he's talking to, you think? And then you hear somebody walking towards the door to that cabin. What are you doing?
Oh, just carrying on down the corridor.
Okay. You carry on down the corridor. You hear someone come out of Kurt Groening's room and then close the door. Oh, there's a new conductor sitting at that end of the thing. You know the conductor that came on, back on board with the chef de guard?
Mm.
He's sitting at the end here.
Oh, okay.
Evening.
Oh, good evening.
I am the new conductor for your cabin.
Okay. Could you tell me the time, please?
It is 7:45.
Oh, well, in that case, I should go and dress for dinner.
Yes, do you require any hot water?
Sorry?
Hot water.
No, I think I'll be fine.
If you need any help, ask for Ludovic. I will help you.
Okay.
You're guessing that the chef de brigade might have picked up somebody from Belgrade.
Just gone, come with me.
Who may or may not have actually been a wagon lead conductor and may actually just be like a wagon lead porter or something who's suddenly got a pay rise and a better job. Because, well, something happened to your previous one.
As long as, you know, no one's told him what happened to the porter at the previous station.
Let's be honest, I doubt they do that.
So I go, okay, thank you, and then turn round and walk back to my...
Mm-hmm. As you're walking back, you see a flash of red hair go out of the end of the carriage towards the saloon car.
Okay.
Okay. Is anybody else doing anything else before you head off to dinner?
No, dinner is the first thing because I'm desperately avoiding Jack Gatling.
Well, Jack, when you go to leave, you take a quick glance over at Jack Gatling's typewriter. Jack Gatling seems to be writing a story about somebody called, Mrs. Burns, who makes false accusations of, you know, strange goings on amongst male guests.
Scandal.
Mm. He seems to be portraying her as an exceedingly nosy person who obviously has nothing better to do in her life because is so fantastically ugly.
Wow.
I mean, first part true, second part not so much, third part question mark?
As long as you don't say that to Selena, you'll still continue breathing.
I am fantastically ugly.
She is.
Works in my favour most of the time now, though.
Yeah, most of the time. What?
What's your appearance score?
9.
Good grief.
I think that was 19.
No.
No, it's 9. It's 9.
Oh, wow.
I had one of my eyes ripped out of my head by a disembodied hand.
Yeah, but that took a certain amount off, and...
It wasn't high to start.
Yeah, that was kind of the point I was about to try and make. Oh, well. I wend my way to dinner, hopefully not getting stabbed along the way, but, on this train, anything could happen.
Okay. So, you head to dinner. I assume you're all going together. So you all head to dinner about the same time, and you go in, and when you head in through the door, you get there about 8:04, and you realise that a couple of people are already seated in place, and you get sat down onto your tables, and then a lady comes in, an old lady, pretty ugly lady, and the maitre d' takes her over and puts her on the table, sort of diagonally opposite to yours. And you sort of glance up and over and staring at you with daggers in her eyes is the little old lady from the cottage.
Oh, fuck!
I can't remember what she was called, but you know her
as
Baba Yaga.
Baba Yaga! Fuck!
Bonjour, what would you like to eat? I take it you all choose hearty meals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Also, what are the rules for regenerating again?
You won't be getting any hit points back for a week if you've got a major wound.
Oh, bollocks.
Yes, he has a major wound.
So basically, once a week you get a point back for major wound. If you've done nothing but sleep, you get another point back. It is very slow healing at this point. Once you're over your major wound, however, you start regaining one hit point a day, or more if you have complete bed rest. Isn't it lovely?
That still wouldn't help us much on this train.
No. So you start eating your soup. It is cold and tasteless. And across the way, Baba Yaga just stares at you all. She's vibrating with anger, which they can all see, but you at home will just have to take my word for it.
Presumably only half of us can see her.
Yeah, except you can sort of feel her. You in particular, because the whole of the skin on your head is creeping.
Okay.
You start the second course, the fish course. It's cold and tastes of nothing. You start the main course. Your steak is cold and tastes of nothing. And all the while she's just
staring at you all. She doesn't eat anything. She doesn't drink anything. She just sits there and stares constantly. You're not sure if she actually blinks at any point. She's just staring at you. Are you doing anything?
No.
Not right now.
It's just another old lady who's probably about as scary as Selena staring at us. I don't really know why, but we're eating.
It's weird that your food is, like, horrible.
Yeah, but it's not poisoned, probably. And my face feels weird. It's
really
weird.
Yeah, no, your face feels weird.
Yeah, really weird.
It feels weird.
I mean, it really is a toss-up between her and Selena, who's more scary at this point.
No, it really isn't.
Yeah, Errol's not met her.
Yeah.
He's oblivious.
I don't think Dr. Roberts has met her either.
Oh, okay. No. Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
I haven't.
No.
God.
So those two are completely oblivious to why there's a little old lady just sort of angrily staring at them and not eating anything. The maitre d' is bringing plates and putting them in front of her, and she doesn't eat them, and then a bit later on he comes and picks them up and takes them away. But, yeah, she's just sort of sitting there and staring at you all the whole time. Eventually you get to the dessert, which is... it's some cake or blancmange or something, but it just tastes cold and tasteless. Kind of like eating cotton wool. You get to the end of your meal. What are you all doing?
Leaving as soon as possible.
Okay. Where are you going to, though?
I'm certainly not.
Yeah, I'm probably going to follow him because I'm not going back to my room whilst Jack Gatling's there.
No. So you head to the saloon car. You two, are the rest of you going too?
Yeah.
It's very much a safety in numbers thing. Okay.
Yeah.
You get to the saloon car. You sit down in the normal place that you sit in. Ramahotep is still reading a book. Danton Zorbik is gone. As you come in, Harrow Bart's there and sort of sees Selena and moves to the other end of the saloon car, where he spots somebody from second class, a lady, and starts putting the moves on her. Sexual.
Jesus Christ, please never do that again.
In my defence, I have just binge-watched the whole of Toast of London. So he's putting the moves on a lady over in one corner. Nobody else that you know is really in, and you all sit down and make me spot hidden checks.
One of the first things I'm going to do, presumably this comes first.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Halved it.
Definitely nope from Selena.
58.
Dr. Roberts halves it as well.
Okay, well, this is going to be weird for those two. Oh, can everybody make a sanity check as well? Because I might as well get that out of the way. So...
75.
Fail!
Amazingly, I did not pass my sanity of 7.
Well, you've got a sanity of 6 now. You lose 1 as well, Errol.
Okay.
Selena Ooh. Does not pass.
Ooh. My sanity's 42.
Yeah, his is 6.
Yeah, and Dr. Roberts also fails.
6 isn't the answer, it's the ultimate question of life.
Everybody who failed loses 1 sanity. This is not a problem for everybody except Chester Philman, who immediately has one of his little episodes. But I'm going to explain something first before you have your little episode. So, Dr. Roberts and Errol, you saw the little old lady staring at you all through lunch, and it was unusual. It is not quite as unusual as looking out of the window, the now dark window of the saloon car, and seeing two things simultaneously that ought not to be there. True. The first thing is you can see the little old lady staring at you from outside in the dark, and worse, behind her, running through the forests on giant legs, seems to be a cottage.
I look back at the rest of the group and basically go, seriously, do you know her or something?
Nah.
There's you two need to make me another sanity check, I'm afraid, because neither of you saw the house before.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, I failed that one too.
And so does Dr. Roberts.
Excellent. So you lose one, and Dr. Roberts loses three.
Okay. So I'm now on 71.
Yep.
Gets me 42 for long.
Chester.
Yes.
You know that Baba Yaga is waiting for you. You know she knows what you did. Because you did a whole lot of stuff in that cottage. Because you did a lot of stabbing. There was a lot of stabbing. There was a lot of stabbing that you did. Mostly of her younger self.
Well, self-defense.
Yes, it was self-defense. But you also didn't allow yourself to be devoured. Which was obviously your purpose there.
Hmm.
And there was a lot of, like, you did a lot of stabbing.
Hmm.
Basically, you stabbed her a lot. Stabbed her a lot. The rest of you are sitting there as Chester seems to be staring off into space and has produced a cult skinning knife and is stabbing in the air quite wildly while he sits there. He's not hit any of you, but he is just sort of stabbing wildly into thin air.
I try and disarm him.
Sure. Sure you can. Sure. Right, this is going to be a combat manoeuvre.
Fuck.
Please tell me both yours and Dr. Roberts' builds.
Right. My build is zero. Dr. Roberts' build is zero.
So nobody gets a positive die or a negative die there. So at this point, Dr. Roberts will be making a fighting brawl roll. You will be making a fighting brawl roll. I'm going to give you a penalty die because you're not actually aware.
Okay.
Because you're staring off into space and remembering when you stabbed up that girl.
Shall I borrow a tennis dice, please?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So my brawl roll, I get an 86.
As your lowest? I'll give you a penalty die.
Penalty die, okay. That's my highest.
So, assuming Dr. Roberts succeeds and doesn't epic fail, he'll be fine.
Yes. Should I roll for him then?
Yes, you should.
Okay. He got 84, which is not a pass, but I don't think because he's epic fail.
Okay. So what happens is, Chester is busy stabbing the air with a cult knife, and Dr. Roberts sort of attempts to wrestle it away from him, but doesn't manage. He doesn't get stabbed, but it has sort of drawn attention to the fact that one of you is randomly stabbing thin air at the moment. The steward is sort of looking a little concerned, and so are a couple of the other people in the room. Is anybody else doing anything? They all go quiet.
I could try.
Seems to be having some sort of seizure.
I can't. Well, clearly, no. It's the sort of form of meditation he does. You know, he's an Olympic level fencer, so this is just—it's part of his regular practice.
So, are you trying to fast talk everybody?
Yes,
okay,
I am.
Make me a fast talk roll.
A hobbit.
Fucking hell. So you're like, oh yes, this is his Olympic training taking over, and everybody in the room buys it. Which is the stupidest thing. But yeah, so Harrow Bart turns to his lady and goes, oh yes, I do that sort of thing myself, but I don't use a knife, if you know what I mean. And she's like, yeah.
My penis.
He doesn't say that, but, yeah, but he implies it pretty strongly. So he is still stabbing wildly in the air, though.
Mm-hmm.
And he continues to do it unless somebody wants to do anything about it.
I really can't wrestle it off of him, so.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a way to do that that doesn't involve getting stabbed.
Unlimited.
He's not doing anyone any damage or harm at all.
He's currently not doing anybody any damage, no. Currently.
Dr. Roberts, on the other hand, is very familiar with recent stabbing attempts and is quite happy with the idea that it's not going to last long.
At least if Baba Yaga attacks, he's already armed.
Yeah, but he doesn't seem to be, like, aiming at anyone, so that could go well or badly.
Oh, that just means we'll have to aim in for him.
Mm.
point him in the general direction of Baba Yaga and let the stabbing continue.
Oh my god! What the fuck?
We don't know what to do!
Oh, you don't! I don't either!
I'm just going to start waving my arms, and if you happen to run into my knives, it's your own fault.
Basically.
This is not a pencil.
Right, give me a second. After a few moments, Ramahotep comes over.
I can't help but notice that your friend is not well. He seems to be having some form of attack. Do you mind if I attempt something that might help?
If you can help him.
What is it that you're wanting to do?
I know certain skills that could be of great use to your friend here to bring him some measure of calm. I see that he's very agitated, and I can calm him. I can make him certainly more docile and less violent. Is it okay if I proceed?
It sounds like a decent chance.
Excellent. If you'll excuse me then.
And he goes round behind Chester. So he's in the settle behind, and he actually says to me,
excuse me, do you mind if you move to a different place? I need to get to the back of this man's head.
And the people in there just sort of look at him and go, yeah, no, that's fine. And they get up and leave.
And he sort of kneels up behind Chester and goes, okay, please give me quiet while I do this.
And he reaches out and he just runs his fingers down the back of Chester's head and then across his shoulders. And then he does it again and then again. And he keeps doing it in sort of a vaguely rhythmic motion.
And then after a little while, he starts to talk. Now then, sorry, what is his name? This one is...
Chester,
yes. Now then, Chester, listen to my voice. You can hear only my voice and feel only my fingers. Listen to my voice. Ramahotep is your friend and he is here to help you. Listen to my voice, Chester, yes. I am the only voice that you can hear, Chester. Yes, Chester, I am helping you here now, Chester. Tell me, Chester, can you feel the fingers running down the back of your head and across your shoulders? Don't they feel like they are easing away the tension in your head? Yes, of course they are, easing away the tension in your head and slowly unknotting the muscles of your shoulders. Yes, like flowing water, warm flowing water into your muscles. They're slowly unkinking the muscles of your neck and of your head. And now your shoulders are beginning to relax. Yes, that is right. Your shoulders are beginning to relax. And now your upper back is beginning to relax. Listen only to my voice. Listen only to the voice of Ramahotep. Ramahotep is here to help you. Slowly the muscles of your back are starting to relax, and now they are drifting down, they are starting to relax your lower back. Yes, your lower back is beginning to relax, and a feeling of warmth is passing into your body. Ramahotep is here to help you. I am starting to relax you. Yes?
Is anything visually happening?
All he's doing is stroking the back of Chester's head and talking at the moment. I haven't made a roll yet, so I don't know if he's going to succeed at what he's trying to do.
Clarissa would like to try and bring Chester round by stamping on his foot.
Well, a chance.
Well, you can do that if you wish. Do you want to stomp on him?
Well, I just want to kind of giving a kick to see if that does anything.
Okay, then.
You realise he's probably going to stab you, right?
I don't know what to do here. Make me a psychoanalysis roll, Clarissa.
Okay. I do not pass that.
Okay. Chester, make me a sanity check. Please fail.
Okay. Yeah, I did amazingly fail that.
Excellent. So you kick him and nothing happens.
Okay.
I'm haunted. He's here to help you, to help you. I am slowly going to relax now. Your arms are going to begin to relax and you can feel all of the strength draining from your arms.
The knife begins to droop.
All of the strength is going out of your arms. None of the tension is in your arms. You are slowly starting to feel sleepy. Yes, you are relaxed and you are feeling sleepy. You are feeling very sleepy. Rama Hortit is here to be your friend. I am your friend. And trust me. And now you're asleep.
Chester goes from stabbing wildly at nothing to... spark out in the chair.
Excellent. I believe I have helped your friend. I would suggest perhaps taking the knife away from him, though.
Take the knife away.
Good. Good. Now, unfortunately, the suggestion to sleep will not last a very long time. He will probably wake in approximately an hour. If you would have need of Rama Hortet again, please feel free to call upon me in my cabin. May the burning tree defend you.
And he walks off.
Thank you.
That was fucking amazing.
It helps that Mordrigan actually knows how to do hypnosis.
I can believe it.
Yeah.
It's a skill I have. You're all feeling sleepy. Maybe I can get away with not having to run.
But anyway...
You all had an excellent session. You feel wonderful. The listeners feel like it was the best podcast episode ever.
So anyway, silent hypnosis aside, we'll just like bloody escape. Just escape. Ryan, so while Chester is asleep in the saloon, he didn't seem to notice you kick him at all. At all, right? He was away with the fairies completely. What are you all doing?
Getting a stiffer drink.
Okay, so you're getting pissed again.
I mean, in fairness, there's a perambulating cottage outside and Baba Yaga.
Have you said that out loud? Because nobody else has noticed the cottage yet.
The perambulating cottage.
If anyone comments on me getting another drink so quickly, yes. I will absolutely say that.
Do walking cottages mean anything?
Did you say that out loud?
No. I'm asking.
Make it a culture.
Yeah. Yeah, I fifth it.
Yeah, there's a thing about Baba Yaga having a walking cottage. That's like a sort of Hungarian or something myth about a little old lady who lives in the forest. She's awful. And she's got this cottage that runs around her legs.
The books are coming for us. They're coming for us.
Clarissa, you were having quite a nice evening, but now all of your friends are going nuts at once.
Yay.
Errol will point at the window if any of
he's
without looking, I'll just like tap him on the arm and go, yes, I know. We've met them before.
There. He's pointing out the window.
It happens in our line of business. It's just, yeah. You know, there's a queue.
I want to go home.
We're trying.
Unfortunately, yeah. We've got to go back the way we came.
You know, the way we came where we pissed off loads of different people all the way here. So, yeah, the cottage is still keeping pace with the train at the moment. Does anybody want to do anything?
Pull the blind down on the window?
I like that idea.
Okay, you go to pull the blind down, and you notice something as you're doing so, Dr. Roberts. You know the little old lady that you can see in the window?
Yeah.
She's not outside the window. It is... artful scratches actually into the glass on the outside that make it look like she's out there.
Okay. How about the cottage?
The cottage is definitely out there. It's actually there and it's running along by the side of the train.
Okay, so cottage but no Baba Yaga, that's an improvement.
But you closed the window.
Yeah, I will inform the others.
I don't think you know about Baba Yaga, do you? I don't think they've explained it.
Hello? Hello?
Okay, we have encountered this witch before.
Are you there, Loka? No, he has dropped off the internet. Bear with us. I'm going to stop and restart us, Danny.
Okay.
Warm ears, isn't it?
Mm.
Headache?
Yeah.
Maybe a bit more. Hypnosis.
What are you all doing? What do you fancy doing? Drinking heavily?
Just being nosy. Has Kurt Groening or anyone else come in?
If you wait long enough, Kurt Groening comes in. He comes in about 11. About 10. He comes in.
Okay.
He looks a lot calmer now, a lot happier. He goes over and orders his customary whiskey with a champagne chaser.
Okay.
Oh, hang on, we might be able to. They've just waited a little while, and about 10 o'clock, Kurt's groaning has come in. We'll order a whiskey with a champagne chaser. Danton Zorbik comes in a little bit after that. Rana Hotek continues reading. After a while, Harrow Bart leaves with the girl? I know. The Count and Countess de Brucey come in about 9. About 11:30, sorry. And they have a nightcap and then head to bed. But Kurt Groening comes in about 10 and we'll wander over and say hello. So then, how are we all? I hear there was another incident.
Today has been
a day,
quite action-packed.
Yes, well, I have also had some interesting dealings today.
Oh dear, not bad news, is it?
Well, somewhat, but I think my lawyers will have it all in hand for me.
Okay.
I contacted them this afternoon.
Fair enough.
Yes, I do not wish to go into further details,
as
you might imagine. But, your friend is asleep already. You shouldn't be not take him to his... And Rana Hotek goes, do not worry, Mr. Groening. Mr. Filman will be absolutely fine. Okay. Well, I know if I have quite a lot of alcohol, I also get a little bit on the sleepy side.
Yes.
Well then, so very soon we will be passing out of the Bulgaria.
Hmm. Good. Excellent.
I can't remember. Where do we go next? Oh, it's Zagreb. Have you ever been to Zagreb?
Well, we did pass through on our way here.
How is it? I've never been myself. They call it the City of Bells, no?
Yes.
You're realising that you've never been there.
Wait, no, we didn't go there because of the bomb.
No, you didn't go to Zagreb because you went to Zagreb in a dream.
But yes, this is true.
It's where Wolfstash's head exploded, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe. Potentially.
Did we not stop there at all? Or did the train physically stop there?
The train stopped, but you never got off.
Right, okay. Then, no, I don't believe we,
Yeah, that is a shame. I was hoping to get some information on the place. Such is life.
I'm not sure I can be of assistance.
Have you been to many places along the route?
We stopped at a fair number for, varying amounts of time.
I particularly like the, sort of Switzerland, you know?
Oh, yes.
That sort of area, Trieste and the like. Quite pleasant. I think we go through Ljubljana soon. Oh, no. We go through Ljubljana
in the very early morning. I don't think I'm going to get up and have a look around. I think I will probably be sleeping in my bed, yes?
But yes, does anybody want another drink? I'm going to the bar. A drink, thank you. Mr. Roberts. Sorry, Dr. Roberts. I keep forgetting. Mr. Errol?
Yeah.
Shall I make the decision for you?
Yeah.
Yes, I think Mr. Errol might be a cocktail man.
No.
No? So what are you? You're not a cocktail man, so you must be He makes a waggy hand, tell me what you want to drink motion.
I'll watch.
You'll watch?
I will basically gets up. Trying to find the bar.
Okay. Well, Kurt Groening goes to the bar, orders his own whiskey with a champagne chaser, gets Dr. Roberts a double whiskey, and then what do you order?
Errol's basically happy to let him choose.
Okay.
He just wants to watch and make sure nothing gets poisoned.
He orders you... Oh, what is a suitably flouncy cocktail?
Manhattan?
Hang on. No. I think he'd go the whole hog.
It was just this horrifying realization midway through being asked what I wanted to drink of this person could be anyone and they're buying me a drink. This is very dangerous. I should watch everything they do.
Sex on the beach?
I think I was
didn't they have no. that back then?
And listen. Certainly they wouldn't have called it that. But
relations on the train.
Yeah, but that involves you.
He orders you a cosmopolitan.
Oh, nice.
It comes in sort of like one of those very triangular drinks.
Eight ball.
Oh, is that what it's called?
I think it's called an eight ball glass.
Fuck knows.
An eyeball glass?
I don't know, but it comes in...
Highball.
Oh.
It comes in one of them anyway, with a bit of lime on the side. Now, Mr. Errol... Don't drink this too fast. It's very strong. But it's good. I like cosmopolitans. Come on, let us back to your friends. Ah, Count, Countess. I come in and go over to get a nightcap. You do also see the waiter leave with a bottle of whiskey and head into your carriage. Presumably somebody's ordered a bottle. So then. Oh, by this point, Chester. You wake up. You're no longer stabbing everything. You feel relaxed. Well, as relaxed as a man with six sanity can be.
Yeah, which is not very.
So, you're awake, Mr. Chester. Would you like a drink? I'm buying.
Yes, please. Whiskey. Thank you.
Yes. Another whiskey, please. Yes, yes. Double. Yeah. Oh, no. Just one double. Not a double. No, just one. Yes. So, how are you all? He's basically going to engage you in conversation until you either go to bed or he falls asleep. So, I don't intend to roleplay that entire conversation. How long are you lot intending to stay up till?
We can't sleep.
So, very fucking late.
I can. Dr. Roberts will be... he'll probably be awake late because he's slept through part of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely get back to sleep because I've been injured before now. And yeah, you just want to sleep a lot.
Yep. So what time at night do you think you'd be going to bed?
How far are we already?
It's 11:30 because Count and Countess de Brucy has just come in.
I think Jess would probably head off as well, to be honest.
Probably heading off by midnight.
Okay. Right then. So... Give me a second.
Don't go anywhere alone.
Right. Okay. As you're heading back to your rooms about midnight, I'm going to go with about midnight because that makes sense.
Yeah.
You notice that all the image of Baba Yaga disappears from the windows and you can't see the cottage any longer as you have moved beyond Belgrade. You all head to your various bedrooms. Chester, you go in. Martinelli's already in place. Can you make me a power check to see if you can sleep?
I got my earplugs.
Make me a power check with advantage to see if you can sleep.
Yes, I fifth that.
Okay. You get into bed, and despite having to slide yourself in, like a letter into a letterbox, you fall instantly asleep. Clarissa, you go back to your single room.
Mm.
Yep. You go in.
get into bed. It's...
I'd probably spend quite a lot of time, like, rubbing my legs and...
Yeah, and trying not to split the skin.
And stomach with, like, oil or hand cream or whatever it is that they use.
Yes. There's probably some kind of skin moisturizer.
Yeah.
Errol, you were sharing with... Sir Harold Bart.
Yes.
He's not there. When you get back. But then you did see him leaving with a lady.
That means I can't barricade the doors. He might want to come in. Oh no.
Oh no.
So are you staying awake all night then?
I suspect Errol will be trying and failing to stay awake all night.
Maybe a constitution check.
No, he passed that. He halved it.
Okay. So you will be able to stay up all night.
Okay.
Selena, you go into your room. And as you're going in, Elena Constanza is coming out. She says, I will attempt not to wake you up when I come back. I just need to go and get a nightcap from the saloon.
Oh, well, it's very late for young ladies to be wandering around the train all by themselves. Maybe I should accompany you. And give her a look.
Okay, you can make me an intimidation check if you want.
It's not necessarily trying to intimidate her. I'm just giving her the... I know what you're up to, Missy.
Yeah, that's it.
She sort of gives you a look. That sort of says, I'm confused.
In that case, I might actually intimidate her to let me come along with her. I'm curious now.
She sort of pushes you back into the room and shuts the door and goes... I'm very sorry, Miss Burns. I'm very sorry, Miss Burns. I actually mean I have to go and... talk to your friend, Mr. Philman, in the morning. He knows...
I told them about this.
Yeah, you told them about this, but you at no point has anybody told her that they know.
Oh, right.
Well, no, what? I don't know. I'm a player and I don't know. What?
No.
Yeah, Chester has told you that she's a spy.
Working for the British government because there's a Turkish group who are planning to assassinate the king's...
The king's son.
The king's son.
But she shoves you back...
I remember that bit now.
She pushes you back into the room and goes, I'm afraid to say, Miss Burns, that... how to put this... When I said I was intending to go for a nightcap, I meant I was going to go and speak with a gentleman. And obviously, as you might imagine, three would most definitely be too many for this meeting. You can make me a psychology check.
Okay.
She needs to half it.
Oh, wow, Jesus. Go five. No, not five.
Now, you know that she is lying to you, okay? Because you know she's a spy. However, if you did not know that, you would be completely convinced.
Right, so I will just wish her good fortune to be safe. You just take care of yourself, young lady.
I am always careful, and she pats her handbag. I always have protection. He knows it means a gun, but never mind. Dr. Roberts, you go back to your room and Gatling isn't there. He doesn't...
I check to make sure that he's not a dead body in the place.
Okay, you open up the...
Because this is a high probability at this point in the campaign.
Yeah. You open up the curtain around his bed. He's not in there. He's not in the toilet. He's not in his own trunk because you just rattle it and see if there's a human-sized lump inside it. He's not in your trunks. He isn't in the room.
Is his typewriter there?
Yes, but it's closed up. But his notepad is missing. Yeah, his notepad is missing.
They're like, oh, God, he's interrogating someone again, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm going to bed.
Okay. Are you going to sleep as well, Selena?
Yep.
Okay, so, all of you are asleep. Apart from Errol, who has the lowest luck?
I have 22, which I think is... Yeah, I think it's me on 22.
Is anybody lower than 22?
Nope.
28. Okay.
Hopefully.
Chester.
Yeah.
Oh, Chester.
Yeah.
Oh, Chester.
You're asleep. Quite well asleep. Very, very well asleep. When something sort of falls on your face. Initially, you don't think anything of it. You're mostly asleep. You don't really notice. And then it scuttles and tries to jab itself in your mouth. So, you don't get to dodge or fight back this round, but yeah, something small, about the size of a hand, has just rushed across your face and slammed itself down across your mouth. You wake instantly. You can't see anything, but you definitely, your mouth and nose are covered by something. What do you do?
I am...
Well, this is uncomfortably familiar.
I am trying... I will try and get off. I will also intentionally be trying to make as much noise as is humanly possible by crashing into things.
Okay, so you smash... You basically roll and drop straight out of bed. You're next door.
I think I'm one over.
Oh, no, Dr. Roberts is next door. Dr. Roberts, make me a listen check with disadvantage.
My listen is at 50.
Nah, you got 78.
Okay, you hear nothing. Errol, make a listen check with two disadvantage dice.
Well, that definitely failed.
97.
You're fiddling with your gun and it's making a clicking sound, which is why you don't hear.
I might be talking to Lenore.
Well, you could be doing that.
But yeah.
Okay, so what are you going to do about the thing on your face?
I'm trying to grab it with both hands and rip it off.
Make me a fighting brawl check.
Passed.
Did you half?
No, but I'm willing to spend luck to half.
Okay, if you spend luck to half, you will tear it from your face.
Yep, I will happily do that to not have this thing on my fucking face.
Okay. Next, make me... Mm-hmm. Next, make me a sanity check.
Oh, come on! Oh, I know, but...
Yeah.
Jesus. Fuck no, not on a 94 against 6.
Okie dokie.
Oh, no.
Between them, they make 100.
Don't say that. You're giving him ideas. He doesn't need any more.
Fuck.
Oh no.
Okay then.
Don't just get permanently insane.
Not quite is the answer to that question. You do, however,
lose 5.
4 sanity.
Oh, I'm on 2. I'm on 2 sanity.
So you look down and for one moment, you think the severed hands are back. And the thing flips itself open. It looks like a severed hand until you realise that it isn't. It's just a 6-pointed star made of skin and flesh. It's obviously been raggedly cut from someone, you assume, and is now motivated on its own. As you throw it away from you, it lands flesh side up and curls horribly to turn itself over, orientates itself on you and scuttles forwards again. And we're probably going to have to go to initiative order, except we're probably not going to do that just yet. One second, I'm just pulling up the rules for asphyxiation. You can see this thing scuttling towards you. And it quite literally breaks your brain. I'm going to make you roll an intelligence check.
I passed that.
Oh, God.
I know.
Okay. Well, then. I've just got to find my Belt of Madness cards. Because what happens...
Does that lose him more sanity?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, thank fuck for that.
It just determines whether he remains under his own control or just does something random. And the answer is he does something random.
Shit.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm going to shuffle them and you're going to give me a number between 1 and 8.
5.
1, 2, 3, 4. Oh dear. Okay. Oh, actually, this could prove useful. Oh, it's a D4, not a D6. Oh.
They're not so useful then.
No. You see, you could have started screaming hysterically.
Okay.
Sadly, you don't. You don't start shouting angrily, or actually, there's a couple here that would have been really bad. Sadly, you got the, you start weeping and crying, which isn't particularly loud. And as you stare down at this thing in shock and horror, it leaps towards your face and connects itself to it. And you are currently hysterical and can't act, so I need to work out.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, don't worry. Your friends will probably be awake in a moment.
I'm awake.
Well, yes.
Yeah,
which is your useful work. Friends will probably be awake in a moment. Give me a second. I'm still looking up asphyxiation because I need to work out how bad it's going to be.
Wake up, Martinelli, you bastard.
Okay.
Save me. You killing a Pavarotti impersonator.
Round one.
Okay.
Make me a constitution check.
Okay. I fifth that.
Okay, you're fine. In your room, Errol, the gnoll starts going, meh, 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 towards the door. As you see something fleshy sort of caterpillar its way under the door and then stand up on six flesh-like legs. Make me a sanity check.
Seems appropriate.
I'm trying to get all the sanity checks out of the way.
I pass it.
You lose 1 point as this flesh thing crawls into the room. Clarissa.
Mm-hmm.
Something... Actually, no, I'm going to make a roll for this one. Something flops onto the bed next to you and wakes you up because it actually fails to hit. You wake up. Next to you is a fleshy thing just sort of raising up on these tendrils of flesh and starting to scuttle towards your face. Make me a sanity check.
I pass.
Okay, you lose 1 point.
I also scream.
Yes, yes, you do. You can make the conscious decision to scream at any point. Dr. Roberts. Fuck me, these
things. This should be entertaining.
You're lying in bed, and you sort of, because you don't know when Gatling's going to come in, you've turned your face towards the wall, and this wet thing slaps you in the back of the head, and then starts crawling across your head towards your face. You sort of jerk and slap it off, and see further down the bed covers this fleshy thing crawling along the bed covers towards your mouth. You also need to make a sanity check. I'm getting all of these out of the way.
My sanity is currently 71.
You pass that.
Okay, you lose 1 point.
Okay, so you're on 70. Nice round number.
Selena, you get to make a listen check before this happens because Clarissa has just screamed.
Listen is 22. Yep.
You pass that.
Okay, you hear Clarissa scream, which causes you to jerk up in bed, which causes the thing to hit the side of your face rather than your mouth, because otherwise it would have hit your mouth. You are greeted with a horribly familiar sight as something with
it's
fingers sort of...
Eye.
It has landed on that side of your face as well. You need to make me a sanity check. Your sanity losses will be higher.
Halved that.
So you only lose 2 points as the second creature pulls itself into your room, Errol.
Ah!
There's two of them in with you.
Well, yeah, they want to blow the door.
But that is where we're going to end for the evening because we've run out of time. I hope you've enjoyed what you've been listening to. Archive is currently looking terrified, but that's nothing out there. If you like what you've been listening to, then please do feel free to leave us iTunes reviews. We love your iTunes reviews. Please give us more iTunes reviews. You can also review us on Podchaser. You can send us messages on thecultsoftandice.net. You can send us emails at thecultsoftandice@gmail.com. You can go on the Facebooks and look for The Cult of Tea and Dice, and you'll find us. You can go on the YouTubes and look for Cult Plays, and we've got Cult Play things. Actually, that sounds rude, but never mind. You can Even go to the Twitters and talk at CultTMDice, or me at Mordrigan, or her at TGremlin, or him at BloodiedFox, or her at ill_Porcupino. And I'll leave you with this nice thought.
You're feeling sleepy, Go to sleep, you've just listened to an excellent podcast. You're feeling very relaxed, it's an excellent podcast, Go to sleep now, goodbye.
Goodbye.